Does Christmas seem like a long time ago to anyone else? Does New Year seem like it? Whew, that was a long time. Well, I actually went to a Christmas party last Friday. I know. For 2014, yeah, yeah. But we just couldn't get a date together between us, so it ended up being in January. So I suppose it's a little less, more recent for me than it might be for other people. In terms of this business of January and about new year and new start and everything else, this is significant, but it's not overly significant for the church. I mean, for God, you know, he doesn't really mind whether it's January or whether it's December or whether it's a new year. I mean, it doesn't really matter. But it is useful as a sort of a marker to say, you know, okay, that was 2014 and this is 2015. So if you've been here for a few years, you'll probably know that towards the start of January, we use this as a time to kind of remind us about the journey that we're on, and where we've been and where we're going, and sort of impart sort of fresh ideas, fresh input from God as to what his calling is on us, and what we're going to do. So this is going to be the first of three Sundays. We're going to do three Sundays sort of introducing this sort of new input from God in terms of our journey as a church. And that's actually something that that we're going to do jointly. So myself, Richard and Eric, we're all going to be sort of launching this together. So in fact, this morning you have the pleasure of all three of us going to do some speaking, some of the leading from the front. Hopefully this is a good thing for you, because if you don't like one of us, then you've got the other two there as well. And this idea kind of fits in nicely with some of the ideas that we're putting across about this being us together. So we are leading this together, and we're sort of explaining what God's call is together. So that's it. It seemed to fit in quite neatly. So Rich is going to start us off. Would you like me to pray for you quickly?
Yeah.
Yes, Father, we just pray that that Richard can deliver your message with clarity and with real wisdom, Lord. And we pray that, and we just thank you, for the passion, thank you for the fire that you put inside him, Lord. I just pray that that he can communicate that to us, whilst not letting go of any of the message that you've given into him, Lord. And I pray that we will all catch it, Lord, with open hearts and open minds. Yeah, amen.
Amen. Can you hear me? Yes. Good. Now, because there's three of us, we've been given the same amount of time each. And I know whenever we were talking about this, we were thinking, I'm never going to get that said in the time I've been given. So I've got special dispensation to start with, because there's two things I want to say that are not included in my time. I did forewarn them about one of them. But the first is this. We really do want to pray for the sick at the end, and actually anyone that's struggling. But I'm conscious that there's a lot of sickness in this church, just sitting in here, let alone Wendy Adams and Jackie and Nettie and Joyce. Those are the ones we do know of, not well. Alan has had to go home this morning. He's not feeling so. We do want to pray for the sick, but bear in mind those that are not here as well. And then secondly, I haven't started yet, so don't start the clock, okay? Secondly, the prayer meeting tonight. I just want to say something about it, and I'd like the directors to stand, those that are here. Richard's in Wales. Alan's had to go home, so he's not well. So that's it with me. That's it. Okay. I just want to honour and commend these guys to you, because over this last number of weeks, the amount of effort, the amount of time, the amount of input that they've had to put in towards the selling of this place and the bid for the Ruja Youth Centre has been enormous. And also, there's a weight of responsibility that we as directors and elders carry in that sale and in that pursuing that bid. So I firstly want to honour them before you, but then I want to say something else. You can sit down, guys. Bill was helpful with this with me. When Nehemiah built the wall, he had those that built the wall, then he had those that defended those who built the wall. Does that make sense? So, this, as Bob has already said, I love it when God goes before us, because this is all about journey this morning. This is our journey. I've said this before, this isn't the elder's journey, this isn't the director's journey, this is every single person's journey in this room. And tonight, you each, those who are able to come, now I know with babysitting and maybe, you know, not coming out, I understand that. Don't say, I'm not understanding, but we need you here tonight. Because this is your part of the journey that you are now playing within that. It's been great. I had loads of texts on Tuesday from all those that were saying, look, we're praying for you, which is really good. But now you have an opportunity to come and stand with the directors and the elders tonight in prayer. And just with Nehemiah, the workers and defenders, they were all needed to get the work done. So I really do want to encourage you to play your part tonight. Because it is significant, the part that you will pray in praying and standing with the directors. Because, as I say, this is our journey. Okay. And it's a large task. And I know for these guys, it is tiring. So we need you to stand with us in that. Now my official time can start. 2015 is a significant year for Rugeley Community Church. It is. And what we're wanting to do over these next three Sundays is just, well, there's a number of things that I'll come to in it, but through Eric, through Andy and I, we want to share the journey. Because we haven't just arrived at 2015. We haven't suddenly just popped up and think, oh, look at all this before us. There's a faith journey that's gone before. And it's our story. It's our testimony. It's our faith journey. I was wondering how I was going to do this with a handheld, but if you can't hear me, it's because my hand, I've lost it. But it is important. You know, we haven't just arrived here. It is a significant year. Whether God lets us pursue Rugeley Youth Centre to the end or not, beginning of April, we step away from this building. So it is a significant year in what God is going to do with us. There is the great unknown. And so that's why it's important that actually we recognise the journey that we're on with God in that. Now, when I talk about the journey and when in my sections, when I refer to my beautiful wife and myself, I'm talking in the context of our journey. Okay? Journeys, stories, testimonies are powerful. And RCC, Rugeley Community Church, has a powerful journey story to tell. It's not insignificant. And we need to keep sharing that journey, that story. Because then we won't lose the awesomeness and the awe and the wonder what God has done with us as a people. And it's important that we remember the journey. You look at Deuteronomy 6:12. It says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." So we need to remember what the Lord has been doing and has done with us. But there's a purpose in sharing our journey as well, because it honours God. It honours the one who has led us this far. But it also helps us draw nearer to God and reminds us of his faithfulness. It also keeps him central, and his favour keeps upon us. We don't want to become self-sufficient, or less sensitive. We want to keep God at the center. And in Deuteronomy 8, 1 to 2, in the New International Reader's Version, it says this: make sure you obey every command I'm giving you today. Then you will live. And there will be many of you. You will enter the land and take it as your own. It's the land the Lord promised to your people of long ago. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way. He guided you in the desert for 40 years. He wanted to take your pride away. He wanted to test you to know that what was in your hearts. He wanted to see whether you would obey his commands. And our faith journey has to have that obedience within it. And I came across this quote that I want to read you about obedience. It says, obedience is expensive. To embrace what he has shown us and to obey what he has commanded, often in the midst of unanswerable questions, is an honor beyond measure. No Christian should be unmoved by the Lord's question, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? That's Luke 18:8. He goes on to say, I have set my heart to be his pleasure by living in faith. God hides things for us, not from us. And so it is part of our journey that we are obedient in that faith journey. So, where am I going to start? Well, in all that we share, we have to remember it affects you and it affects me. We are one family on journey together. So, in 2009, that seems nearly 6 years ago, 2009, I was asked if I would consider leading Rugeley Community Church. I know, you could say, how would they ask such a young-looking man like that? Whether he, well, God was in the house. But around that time, and I remember the prayer meeting vividly, I was opposite Trevor. We were in a midweek prayer meeting, and the Holy Spirit brought two seasons very powerfully to my heart. There was a season of family, and there was a season of mission. And what I mean by that? Well, he reminded me that when Nigel Lloyd came here in 1997, I think. He reminded me that he'd called him to work on the spiritual foundations of this church. And what was needed at that time was a family together, because in transition, you need that strong bond of family. So Nigel did a lot of the foundational work. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me that when Nigel got called to church plant in Wrexham and Dave Turner came from South Africa to lead the church, that Dave brought a greater emphasis on mission, of us being a church on mission. And this season really helped shape and open up our thinking and our actions toward those at loss. We weren't so much family looking in then as we were looking out. And both were important. And it was like God took at this prayer meeting. It's amazing what God does with you, and the rest of the room doesn't know while that's going on. And he placed within my heart that family and that mission, and he pushed them deep and he mixed them. And it came out was, I have a real burning desire that we are both family and we are mission together. That we are a pioneering family. We're family together, yet we're on mission. We're on mission, yet we're family together. Not leaning on one emphasis more than the other. In family, there must be an element of mission. And in mission, there must be an outworking of us being family. It's like family and mission are the white lines down the center of the road that we travel. They are what we hold to. And that's why we say, it hasn't just come out of thin air, that's why we say we are family on mission together. I went full time on Monday, the 7th of September, 1999. 2009. I'll come to that in a minute, yes. Where does all the time go, huh? Anyway, I better get on. 2009. And now in the months leading up to me going full time, wherever I was, whether it was here, whether it was a conference, other churches when we were part of Borderlands, whenever they prayed for myself or they prayed for the church, I can guarantee you, every passage they took, every word they brought came from Joshua. It was consistent. Joshua, Joshua, Joshua. I almost knew what they were going to say and pray sometimes before I thought, I bet this is going to be Joshua. And it was Joshua. There was always a reference to me stepping in to a Joshua season and calling. And a calling to lead Rugeley Community Church from where it was into the Jordan. A step of faith in which God would open up his way as the Jordan parted into the promises that he has for us. And even on the first day, Monday the 7th, 2009, we have a little calendar thing that you rip off every morning. I ripped it off, and what was there? Joshua 1:9. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I thought, I get it, Lord. I get what you're saying. Now, we have been here since 1999. That's where my age and my memory slip. And I guess ever since we've been here, there's always been discussions about space. Space has always been an issue. I'm not talking about space out here. I'm talking about space in here has always been an issue. And I shared in October 2010 in regards to us moving towards a new facility. That's nearly 5 years ago. I just want to show I'm quite good at maths. No, that's nearly 5 years ago. And I said then, it's like we were on the banks of the River Jordan. And yet since Nigel's time, there's been this discussion about space. And I said, it was like since then we've walked up and down the Jordan. We've looked at hiring. We've looked at extending. I'm even sure we probably looked at going down as well as up, but we looked at every permutation and then we'd leave it and then we'd go back and then we'd look at it again and again. So it was that sense of walking up and down the riverbank. Then I said this in 2000, I said, there's only one direction to go if you want to see God move. And that was for us to move forward by stepping out from here into the Jordan. For God to part the way to the promises he has for us. Because we are Rugeley Community Church. And I did say on that Sunday, if you sort of put that backwards, we're the church to the community of Rugeley. And when I say that, I talk about Brereton and the surrounding area. And there would be a need to raise our profile. So Eric is going to come and continue the journey.
Thank you very much. I haven't got the remote control here for the slides because I do have some slides. Okay. Many times in the Old Testament, God told people to remember. So I make no apology for what's about to be a very short history lesson. It is something that God wants us to do. And if you think back about the rainbow that was given to Noah, and if you think about the physical memorials that the children of Israel were asked to build, and also they brought in new practices, so their annual festivals that were a continuing reminder of things that had gone on in the past. So they were created at God's command to help people to remember. And so I want to use these next few minutes to remind us of some steps on our journey that demonstrate God's faithfulness to us. And I was challenged as I prepared this because there was stuff that I'd forgotten. And I was actually there and involved in it. So for some of you that were just hearing about it, I realise it's difficult to keep tabs on. And I think we'll see that God was working in ways that we might not have been expecting. And this particular part of our journey goes right back to 2004 when Nigel was leading the church. We were aware of the difficulties we were already having on the present side. And Bob, bless him, spent quite a few weeks, I think one summertime, investigating what were the places that were available around Rugeley for us to hire. And the conclusion at the end of that process was there was nobody that really wanted us enough to put themselves out. And effectively, that was a season of finding closed doors. And then in April 2005, I remember a grey day when Dave Turner, Trevor and myself stood out in the back car park with the local planning officer. And we said, what are the opportunities for us to expand this building? And the lady said, well, you could go out that way, you could go up there, you could come out here, you could go out there. She said, there are all sorts of possibilities. And we thought, that's really encouraging. But then we started thinking about how much it was going to cost and how much it was going to add. And we realised we're going to spend a lot of money and gain very, very little. And I think we decided it would add space for about another 20 people and their children, and that was all. And then we said, but if we buy the garden next door, which is empty by the bungalow, then we can do something reasonable. So we wrote to the council and said, please, would you sell us that piece of land? And they wrote back and said, no. So what appeared to be another closed door. And in fact, even the councillors were supporting our request, but still the council officers said, no, we can't do it. And then in 2006, we investigated the possibility of renting the flat that's above the shop on the end here, because the shop had been empty for some time. The flat was empty. There were some good-sized rooms in there, actually, a nice little kitchen and bathroom. We thought that would just be a great environment for the children to use on Sunday. It would be a real blessing to them. And in the week, we could use it for Alpha offices and things like that. And they said, no, only if you rent the shop as well can you have the flat above it. And we didn't really want the shop. We couldn't afford it, and we had no use to make of it. And then later that year, a friend of Trevor's from down south, Nick Lewis, came up and he sat with the then trustees and talked through the building. And he explained how we could think about making the most of what we did have rather than looking for something outside. And he says, there's going to be a time, whatever you do between now and then, when you're going to have to be in here. And he said, but actually, if you get your minds around it, you can do better than you're doing at the moment. And so, at the beginning of 2007, we all came down with our saws and hammers, and we built that store at the end of the kitchen. And all of the rubbish that had been lying all around the back lounge suddenly vanished into a big cupboard, and we had a nice space that was honouring to the children. Now, if you go out there now, you might find it hard to believe, but it did actually get completely clear so that the children had a nice space to use on Sunday. And then in 2008 and 2009, there wasn't much progress on the building because we were focused on a change of leadership at that time. And then by 2010, we were just realising that actually all the things we want to do are all being constrained and impeded by our lack of space. It isn't just it's uncomfortable to do church in here. We were aware of children knocking into adults, carrying hot drinks, and we did all sorts of little changes to try and improve it. And then in October, one Sunday, Richard and I stood up here and we explained all the different reasons why we couldn't carry on here. And they weren't obvious to everybody, because depending on what ministries in the church you were involved in, you only hit a few of the problems. But overall, many of us were finding that what we wanted to do for God was being restricted by the building. And then the following month, in November 2010, we opened a building fund. And this was a step of faith, because we didn't know where we were going or what was going to happen. But we said, we're sure that one of our first steps into the River Jordan is to start seeking God for the funds to make whatever he's planned become possible for us. And one of the remarkable things is that that fund has continued to grow, that you have faithfully given to that, even though we don't know, or we haven't known how that money was going to be spent. And today, as we sit here together, we have around £100,000 set aside to enable us to move forward in God's purposes. I think that is tremendous. That is a great faith journey. And so when we're talking about the youth centre, one of our questions isn't, well, where on earth's the money going to come from? Because we know that God has been preparing the way so that we're now in a position to make plans. And it's actually that fund there that gives us the freedom now to try and step forward with God. And then in 2011, we heard about this great empty building called Key Point down at the other end of Rugeley. And we thought, that's exciting. Maybe this is God's opportunity for us. And we prayed about it and we said, God, please would you close the door if this isn't it? But we kept pressing on in and we did some negotiations. The owner of the building was very willing for us to take it and adapt it to be a church. It was a mixture of a big warehouse and some offices. And we got to the point of having agreed some general terms with them. And then we applied to the local planning department for change of use from a warehouse to a church. And we thought, this is exciting. God is on our side. And the planning officer said no. And we thought, well, we have good grounds for doing this because churches in many other towns have done exactly the same thing. So we're going to press on and do that. And we were at the point of deciding to make an appeal when we heard that another local business had come in and had signed a lease because there was nothing restricting them. So we said, God, we asked you to close the door if you didn't want us there. You had the right to do it. But one of the interesting things out of that was that we built a relationship with a man called Giles Arnold, who is a Christian surveyor. And we learned a lot from him and from the process. We learned, for example, that to hire or to rent a building of that size in Rugeley would cost us about £25,000 a year, and that to fit it out, and it wasn't in a bad state, would probably cost us £100,000 to £150,000. And we learned about all the different rules and regulations that would be involved in doing work like that. So it was a great opportunity for God to teach us new things and build relationships for us to help us move forward. And then in the spring of 2012, we found another industrial building much nearer the town centre on Power Station Road and right where everybody would be driving past to get to the new Tesco's. And there were lots of reasons why that was a great place to be. It had room at the back to build additional units for things like the food bank. And the building itself was really tatty. But again, the owner was willing to negotiate with us. And while we were in the process of thinking about applying for planning permission, another business came along and said, oh, we'll have that. And because they didn't need any change of use, not unreasonably, the owner rented it to them. So God had closed another door for us. And then we were getting, I wouldn't say it was desperate, but our curiosity was piqued about what God was doing in closing these doors for us. So in September of that year, we called the church to prayer and we had a quite significant few days of praying specifically into this whole area of the building. And a number of the pre-prophetic words that are guiding us now and the pictures were given during those times of prayer together. It's probably one of the most significant seasons of prayer that we've had as a church, you know, in the last sort of 10 to 15 years. And then, right the following day after the last of those prayer meetings, Richard Smith had a phone call from Giles Arnold saying, have you looked at such and such a plot of land being the piece down at Wheelhouse Road? And that started a process of pursuing the opportunity of building a new facility down by the Hawksyard village. And so early in 2013, realizing that we were about to start on a journey that we were ill-equipped to understand ourselves, we started the process of looking for partners who could work with us and guide us in this journey. And as a result of getting a number of them to come and tell us about how they operated, we formed the relationship with Provision. And again, this has been a significant partnership for us in terms of what they've been able to bring to us in experiences across the country of guiding other churches along a similar journey. And they've helped us understand and they've challenged us about what we're thinking and doing. And out of that process, we made an offer as part of a consortium for the land down at Wheelhouse Road. That offer was never accepted, but neither has it been rejected, because somebody else came in and made an offer which was higher than ours. But they've never actually, as far as we know, completed their purchase. So, in one sense, that's still unfinished business. And if I knew what God was doing there, I promise you I would say, but I don't know. But I'm open to what God wants for us, and I hope you will be as well. And it's been interesting on this journey to live with uncertainty. But actually, it's helped us to learn that it's God who we're following, not our plans. So I can come up with plans at the drop of a hat, as you all know. But actually, that's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to seek him and to follow his way. The other significant thing that happened in 2013 was that with the help of Provision, we drew up a community valuation which identified all the different ways that this church serves the community of Rugeley. And some numbers were put on the hours that we spend and the way that we share our building, and that amounted to £130,000 per year. And you might think, oh, well, that's all very interesting. But actually, now that we're making the bid for the youth centre, this is a concrete demonstration of who we are and what we've done in the past for the town that will be understandable by the council. So we see that once again God had led us down a pathway that created something that was going to put us in a stronger position. One of the things that I forgot to mention, because I'm watching the clock too closely, is that at some point, I think it was early in 2012, we put this building on the market. So we've been trying to sell the church, as many of you will know. And then in September and October 2014, as a result of a challenge from Provision, the newly formed group of directors spent 2 months just getting together on a regular basis, seeking and God and praying and saying, could you please clarify what our purpose is here in Rugeley? And I know we've got the vision and we've been talking about things, but Provision said it would be good to go back to God together and just see whether he would say anything new to you at this time. And in some ways he didn't, but in other ways he did. Because what we found was that as we prayed and sought him together, there was a reigniting of parts of our vision, and some different words came to us that allowed us to capture down on paper in a new way where we felt God was leading us to go. And then, at the end of that time, 2 peculiar things happened. Our building was no longer on the market because the agent that was marketing had stopped doing that type of work. So for over a year, the building hadn't been on the market. But we got an offer on the building, even though it wasn't on the market. And the second thing that happened was that for some time, about 18 months, Alan Ball had been contacting different people in the county council saying, what are you doing with the youth centre? Because we'd be interested. And we got absolutely zero response to that. But after we got to the end of this process, suddenly the county council contacted Alan and said, would you be interested in bidding to run the youth centre? Now, we might think that those were unusual coincidences, but I would encourage you to see the hand of God in there, because these were things that we'd been pushing on and pushing on for 2 years or more, and suddenly we listened to God, we get clarity on what he's asking us to do, and then two doors open, or at least go ajar, that hadn't been before. So let's be grateful to God for what he's doing amongst us. And I see these as being two supernatural events that require a response from us. The first response is that we release this building to the other church, and that actually is an act of faith on our part because we don't know where we're going. But one of the things we've been learning on this journey is that sometimes you can only see the next step. But actually taking that step with faith enables God to open up the next step for us. And we might look back and wonder, well, why have we had all these setbacks? Why couldn't it all just open and go plop, 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 answer from day one? And I think there are a number of reasons for that. Firstly, the relationship with Giles Arnold is one of the things that we've benefited from. We were introduced to him by the Christ Central Church in Stoke, and he's been really helpful to us. We've amassed the £100,000, which gives us the opportunity to move forward with plans, wherever those are. And the relationship with Provision is shaping our thinking, it's shaping how we respond to God, and it's giving us a route forward for the different types of projects that we might get in. And then we've got this community evaluation, which is a great resource. So in all of these things, God has been preparing a way for us. And the only thing that's missing, really, is knowing where that way will lead. But I'm willing to trust him for that, are you? Yeah? A couple are. Good. The other important thing is that God has been preparing us. And as we follow the story of God's people in both the Old and the New Testament, we find that oftentimes God is more interested in the hearts of the people than what they're actually doing. And that's actually true. He's more passionate about you as a person and your walk with him than about your ministry. And I think we've been learning that. And as I finish, I just want to point out four ways in which I think God has been preparing us. I think he's been, we always said, oh, we'll follow God, we respond in faith. But actually, he's been upping the ante. And to actually sell this building when we don't have anywhere to go is a step of faith that I don't think we'd have been ready to make 4 years ago. So that's a measure of the journey that God has been taking us on. I think we now understand that his timescales aren't ours. As we've looked back on history, we thought we'd been looking for a new building for 4 years. It's actually more like 10. I'd love to think it won't be another 10 years. But actually, that's in God's hands, and I believe he's trustworthy. If you'd have said to me, oh, you'll be doing a food bank and other things out of this building, we'd have thought that was impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We've been obedient in setting aside money, and we're learning that when we have seasons of seeking him, then things happen supernaturally that we haven't orchestrated. So I think there are some great lessons to learn. And just as I hand over to Andy, I would just like us to close this little bit in prayer. Father, we want to say sorry for the times when we get frustrated because things aren't happening the way that we would like or to the timescale that we would like. But as we've just remembered the journey that you've brought us on with regard to the building, we just want to say thank you for building relationships with people that can support us. Thank you for encouraging us and helping us and making it possible for us to release money for our plans to go ahead. And thank you for teaching us what it means to be obedient and take small steps of faith when you speak to us. Father, we want to acknowledge that you are a faithful God. And our prayer together this morning is that you would lead us forward into a facility where we can glorify you and serve the people of this town in the way that you've called us to do. Father, help us to learn the pathway of obedience that makes all that possible. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, some of you that are quite keen, I suppose, might be thinking, okay, why did Andy have the Britney Spears mic, as Jane calls it? Well, that's because I need both hands for what I'm going to be doing now, which is going to be, yeah, I know, a little bit wacky, but that's me, isn't it? So I'm going to start to build a house of cards, hopefully. And have I got my slide on the screen? And I'm going to be talking briefly about this, Ephesians 4. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the church of Ephesus, is full of sort of good advice about how church should be, how we can be unified together. And that's an important message when we're on this journey together. You know, that it is our journey. It's not something that we as an eldership or we as directors are kind of doing, and the rest of you guys are just, well, you're along for the ride. You know, everybody is important to the journey. So, whilst I'm building my house of cards, would you fancy reading this together? So, I'll help you start off. So this is Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. It says, "And he gave the apostles, So my points here about this text, I feel that there's lots of different themes here. One of them is definitely about unity, and you say that's important. And my deck of cards here, you know, some of them are kings, aren't they? Some of them are twos, tens, fives. They're all different types of playing card. And depending on the game that you're playing, you know, they will have different significances. You know, for most card games, you know, the king, queen, jack and the ace, you know, that they're the best ones. They're the ones with the power to work. But, you know, so it does depend on what kind of game you're playing. But for this house of cards here, it doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't matter which cards are which here. It doesn't matter which cards are on top and which at the bottom. You know, they're all important, aren't they? If one is out of place, then the whole thing will topple down. And the different suits as well. So I think this helped illustrate sort of our journey together. You know, yes, we're all different. Yes, we've got our different roles. Some of us have got, you know, sort of titles attached to what we do here at Rugeley Community Church. No, but we're all important, and it's important that we see this as our journey rather than, you know, well, okay, this is the journey for these guys and we're just along for the ride, as I said. The other theme that I want to draw out of this is about being sort of blown away, blown apart, sort of being caught up in the wind that kind of ruins things. And you might think, well, that's actually a bad example here, isn't it? With my house of cards, it's very, very fragile. You know, the slightest bit of breeze is going to blow this over. Well, not actually if you use treacle to hold the cards together, which is what I've actually done here. I've dipped the sides in treacle, which actually makes it really easy to build and and actually, you know, quite strong, quite sturdy. Oh, that one's just about to go there, but it takes a bit of punishment, that does. So, yeah, I mean, I think, and that's a lesson that we need to learn here at Rooster Community Church, is how can we stick together? How can we be like sort of spiritual treacle, if you like, at Rooster Community Church? And, yeah, there is lots of things that we already do that helps us to stick together effectively. You know, our fellowship groups, the way that we meet at church, and the way we honour each other, the way that we share our testimonies with each other, the way that we kind of share, we give authority to each other. And also an important one that we do for each other, we pray for each other. And that's what we're going to be coming on to do now, to pray for those that are sick. So yeah, those are the two things that I wanted to get out of showing that little illustration, that we need to be unified together. We need to be we all got our part to play, to build, the big picture. And what helps is to have a bit of treacle to hold us together, to bind us together as one.